Okay. I'm Kathy Hogan, and both Maureen and I are from the CDC, National Immunization Respiratory Diseases, just like Jill. But Maureen and I both work on, can anybody hear me? Both work on the website, and we're on one of the many CDC web teams. Now, for some of you, I'll be talking really fast because that's why I made Jill make it really short so I could get in as much as possible. Also, some of you join the room later. We have a lot of handouts just in the first three rows. You can come up and grab a handout at any time. Don't worry about interrupting me. I won't even see you doing that. The handouts cover just about everything that I'm going to be speaking about. And for some of you who are not techies, and we'll be bringing this back to your web developers to be using some of these tools, you're definitely going to want a handout because it's got the contact information and it's got all the steps that they'll need to follow. And then at the end, I can answer any specific questions. And then I'll also have contact information for your web developers can contact us. Now, there is a lot of CDC tools that you can use, and all the ones I'm talking about are free. And they're going to help you build your site's content. But the one I'm going to be concentrating on first is content syndication, which is one of the easiest and most powerful of the tools that I'll be that are offered by the CDC to build your state, local, and island websites. Content syndication is a way for you to display CDC's content within your own site's pages so that your visitors don't have to leave your site. CDC offers syndication tools in a wide variety of health-related topics, and more are added every day, and you can request any page you need that we don't have syndicated for you already. The best thing about the content syndication is that once you set it up, your pages are automatically updated whenever CDC updates its content, so you don't have to go back and check on it all the time. It's easy, quick, free, to provide timely, science-based health information for your audiences, and the topics are available in multiple languages. What does CDC content do for you? The work involved with writing the content for your sites, as you all know, is not only very labor-intensive, but the clearance process alone is time-consuming. So why not display credible information on your site without all the hassles for a few of the topics that you either can't get to or don't have the resources to cover? As soon as you register, select the pages you want to add, add the code to your pages, it's done. Think of all the topics that CDC covers that you can now show on your site for your visitors. By combining your state and local information on the same page as the content from CDC's pages on your pages, you'll deliver a more complete set of health information for your visitors. How many more audiences will you be able to reach with content written in other languages or content thoroughly researched and tested by the CDC? We all know that content written specifically for the audience is better received. Okay, now that you have all the topics that CDC covers, what will you focus on? Imagine the possibilities when you can be proactive instead of reactive. And your site will be fuller. Your visitors will find it more valuable and accessible, and I'll be talking about that in a minute, and desirable. By using CDC's content for some of your text, you'll be able to avoid the problems of inconsistent or confusing messages, and you'll be able to deliver clear, concise content. Here's another huge, huge time-saving benefit. All of CDC's pages are compliant with the federal rules that mandate all government sites be Section 508 compliant. And this is for those with vision, hearing, and limited hand coordination challenges. This will save you untold hours of work. This is probably the biggest expense for CDC in terms of getting pages up on the sites. Did you know that those government sites not found compliant are subject to being sued by those that need these services? Can you believe it? Since 2007, more than 400 partners have implemented content syndication on their sites, and more than 1,600 partners' web pages contain CDC syndicated content. There are 44 states that use and test content syndication from the CDC by just the state and local health departments alone. You might be thinking, well, why not just link to CDC's pages like you do now? Well, you can and you should point to credible sources of information when it serves to back up, enhance, reference, and serve as more information for your own content. Linking to other sites helps to put the pieces together to convey information. However, you should avoid creating web pages that are simply a laundry list of links. Did you know that web pages with mostly links and little to no content do not get the search engine results that you need? Or you might be thinking, why not just copy the content? Well, repeat after me, do not copy content, because it soon won't be up to date, or the links will go bad because they've changed in another site. How much time does your web person spend making sure that your links haven't gone bad? It just makes your site look like it's out of date just when the links go bad themselves. Why is CDC doing this? Well, CDC wants to share its information to educate our shared audiences. We all want the same thing, the best science, credible information for our visitors. Okay, if I haven't convinced you yet, maybe when you see how easy it is, then you'll decide it's worthwhile. Right now, next we're going to walk through the actual steps of syndicating pages. First, we're going to walk through the steps that a content person does to pick the pages they want to syndicate, and then we'll go through the techie steps. These are the five steps for the content expert. First, you're going to register, which you only do once, and then you're given an ID. You sign in, you find the pages you want to syndicate, you add the pages to your list, and then you confirm your selections. So it's not much different than most systems when you go get something to buy, okay, on a catalog. Registering enables you to syndicate content from the CDC. You'll be asked to provide your organization and contact information, and upon registering, you'll get a unique registration ID that you'll syndicate content with. Next, you'll sign in using your email address, your password, and that registration ID that you were given. Then you'll find the content, and you can do this by either searching by the topic itself, or if you know the URL of the web page, you can just type it in. And does everybody know what a URL is? It's the www that someone gives you for an address to a web page. That's a URL. Or you can use the advanced search to find, say, all the Spanish pages or all the pages added since the last time you syndicated. Step four, in this example, I selected pertussis as the topic, and it listed all the pertussis pages that are available for content syndication. You simply scroll through the list and click Add to List next to each page that you want to select. As you select pages, the counter at the top right side of the page, which I've circled here, will tell you how many you've selected already. It's like a shopping cart in a sense. Finally, you'll click Your List to see all the pages, and then you just go through your final review. Now at this point, like I've indicated on the screen, the techie can take over, or if you're the person putting the code on your pages, these are the steps that are going to be taken. At this point, you can sign out if you're the content person only and you have a techie or a web developer, and let that person take over the next steps, unless you like to get your fingers in the code. Are there any web developers in the room? So I know how much detail to go into. Okay. If not, we're going to go through these pretty quick. And then, again, the information's in your handout. For those of you who came in late, there's handouts in the front of the room that you can pick up that explains everything I've been talking about. And just so you'll know, the webmaster can decide to have all the images sit on the left side, the right side, so they can center them or have the images not show up at all. They can add their own images and so forth. And we've been asked that question a lot, so I just wanted to make sure I pointed out that feature. So for each page you select, you or your web developer will get a block of code that they're going to copy and paste onto your web page exactly where you want the CDC content to show up. Now, for a lot of you, this really looks scary, but for the techie, this is extremely easy to cut and paste. If you are deemed the techie, you don't have a techie in your group and you have to do this yourself, simply call the help desk and they will walk you through this step by step. And again, that information's in your handout. Okay, let's see some pages and actions. This is a vaccine safety page being syndicated on Ohio's childhood page. And does anyone look familiar in the picture? Not at all. And I'm also on a lot of videos. I was shocked when I went around in the exhibit room and that my picture was plastered all over the place. I didn't know I was a model. And then this is the pertussis information being syndicated on Arkansas's site. And this is the example we show in your handout. This is flu vaccine information. No, I don't think any presentation doesn't talk about flu at some point. That was being sarcastic. Notice it's on the NIH website. An example of flu being translated into Spanish on a partner site. Now, I know I rushed through this, but your handout includes the descriptions, the examples, step-by-step instructions, and links to sites that you can visit for resources and best practices, and again, that help desk contact information. So with the limited time we have today, your handout serves to describe other useful tools and how to find them, when to use them, best practices for even creating your own, as well as tips for using them. So real quick, I'm just going to go over a couple of the tools that are in your handouts. One is buttons, and these are graphical images that you put on your site with a short call to action, such as get vaccinated. And it has a link to more information, and these are often created to be shared, and CDC alone has a lot of these on their website and the links in your handout that you can go grab those on different topics. There's also badges, which are like buttons, but are often posted on a person's Facebook page or blog, and they show support for or an affiliation for a cause. And they will have usually a personal message on it, like, I got my flu vaccine, or I got my shot, or something personal that they want to tote. Another two examples of tools we have that are free is RSS, which stands for Really Simple Syndication. And when you subscribe to one of these, it sends you information on the topic that you pick. So this is an example of information that gets pushed to you versus you having to go out and do a Google search and find information on a specific topic. And lots of sites use RSS feeds. Image sharing involves posting photos, artwork, images, and other graphical images to websites where they can be viewed, tagged, categorized, and even used by others. CDC shares images on both Flickr and its own gallery, the Public Health Image Library, that can be used for referencing, teaching, presentations, and even for your own public health messages. And again, all these are free. And the last tool I want to show is something called a widget or a gadget. Now, I'm going to really age myself. When I was in college, we used widgets a lot to describe things, and they weren't really a thing. Well, now we have a thing for a widget. It's also called a gadget. And this particular thing is a graphical element, and it shows you either news or health information or even data or research. And you can put it on your site for different topics as shown on here, like diabetes or the BMI. Different quizzes on different topics. But the thing about widgets is they have an interactive experience. In other words, you can click on them and do different things. So in this example, I picked up the vital signs widget, and with the previous and next button, it can show you many different topics in this one widget. So like budgets and badges, it's simple as copying and pasting code straight onto your page, and you would do that with this share button. And like I said, and for those of you that came even later than I've said it three times now, there's still some handouts at the front of the room. It's got everything I've covered so far and contact information. They've recorded this presentation, and you can also ask for a copy of it by emailing me at the address above there. Most of this information and then even more tools are covered in the Health Communicator Social Media Toolkit, which is also listed in your handout. So Maureen is now going to cover how to frame your content syndication.
I My name is Maureen Marshall. I work at CDC's National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases as well with Kathy. And I hope that she's convinced you, even if you aren't an adopter of web tools now, that you will consider some of these in the future. And Kathy's pretty persuasive. She's pretty persuasive when I'm in the workplace as well. And very clear in what she's communicating. And I hope that she's clearly communicated to you the benefits of content syndication. She showed that it is a relatively easy interface to access the syndication library. And in the handouts, she's provided a how-to that you can take back and work with yourself or hand to your IT staff if you're so lucky to have that kind of staffing. I hope you're ready to just put on your Nikes and do it. After her enthusiasm, I'm the little voice that says, "Are you ready?" Sure, you've got a coach in the form of someone like Kathy, or perhaps your own enthusiasm for saying, "Yes, I want to beef up our website and I'm ready to do it." And you've got the venue, you have your website, and you've got training because all of you, I am assured, are experienced communicators who understand the messages you want to communicate to your various audiences. I hope you have a good web developer, graphic artist, or perhaps you're just ready to go deep into the code and get some of this stuff done. Remember your communication basics as you begin this kind of effort. The best web pages, whether using original content or syndicated content, are a collaborative effort. They tap the builder's expertise in using the tools, along with the health professional's wisdom on the topic, and the reminder of the needs of the health information seekers coming to your web or the various platforms we're discussing. Before you beef up your website or use any of these tools, I recommend that you remember to identify your audience and consider what question or phrase they might be typing into that Google search box. Why to communicate is a given. You want to provide timely, relevant answers to your audience's questions. But I guess there's more to it than that. That if the visitor lands on your web page and has gotten information from your content, you want to keep them on your website. You want them to find more information. First, you need to identify what to syndicate. As a health professional, you're in the best position to identify the needs of your population, what questions they have, and what information you want made available to them. Once you've decided what to syndicate, comes the challenge. The data, the words, and the images within your footers, the data and images that you syndicate land within your headers and footers. And it's possible that the resulting web page will deliver exactly what you want to see. But you can also improve a syndicated web page with a little framing. Consider adding a customized title. Use formatting tools or tap your web style sheet to add subheads and spacing. And remember that syndicated content may have links that take the visitor out of your web page to CDC's web pages. You should consider, if you can, adding links to your own web pages to keep that visitor there, finding additional information you have. I'd like to show you a couple examples of state governments that have used syndication and hope that these are informative. And I mean no disrespect or criticism of anyone if you're represented, if I show one of your sites and have any kind of constructive thoughts about it. On the right, you'll see an example of a CDC page on Salmonella and a page from the Ohio Department of Health that has syndicated CDC's content on Salmonella. The date is 2008. This is an example of one of the first uses of content syndication. It was specific to the outbreak of Salmonella in peanut butter. It was a prime event for tapping syndicated content. On the Ohio page, there are various click-throughs. You get to this page by clicking through on Ohio's alerts page. And when the visitor clicks through on alerts to peanut butter, they see the header and the navigation from Ohio's website. And then immediately they see content that's been pulled from CDC that at the height of the outbreak was updated on a daily and sometimes even an hourly basis. So anyone coming to Ohio's site was able to see the most current information on what products were contaminated, where the outbreaks were occurring, and also had links to steps to make sure that they got rid of the right products and kept salmonella out of their bodies. Staying in Ohio, I'd like to show another example. This is another use of customized syndication. This is Marion, Ohio's public health site, and they've posted on their homepage a question, pertussis, what does this mean to you and your family? The visitor who clicks on that link comes to the page you see here. The page offers content that's general as well as Ohio specific. You see that they've added content that indicates that Ohio has the third highest incident of pertussis behind only California and Texas. They also include, lower on the page, details about immunizing against pertussis, times that vaccination clinics are open, and a contact phone number. To this specific information, they've added, so all of the content above was their own. The content below is the syndicated content from CDC's website. It's a rather general, lowbrow, very plain language text that provides general information on pertussis disease and on vaccination recommendations. Here, syndication yields supplemental information. They've included links to resources that support a call to vaccinate. This is an example. This is the page that Marion, Ohio syndicated. So they actually started and took from that title right above the picture of a grandmother and her grandchild. The content below that was all pulled in to Marion, Ohio's page. And I might encourage Marion, Ohio to do a little bit of enhancement, because I find personally that this is an easier page to scan and to pull information from than Marion's page. And the area over on the left, purple, next to the vital signs, that information was specific for healthcare providers, but it was kind of pulled in with all the other copy in Marion, Ohio's example. It's not wrong what they did. They delivered great information. They knew it was always going to be updated. This page showed the updates to the 2011 vaccine recommendations as soon as it was able to, so that their page was current. I feel that with a little tweaking, they could give a better experience to the user. This example is from the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare, and it shows a different use of syndicated content. Idaho has opted to syndicate a general page on preteen vaccination to serve as a foundation for the adolescent immunization, their subsite on adolescent immunization. They've decided to format the syndicated content. Those photographs you see of the kids came from CDC's content. They didn't have to go out and search for those. Idaho opted to add navigation on the right-hand side to link to topics that parents of teens might also be interested in and topics that healthcare professionals serving teens might need. These options include a link to the recommended vaccination schedule. This is a great use of syndicated copy. If I could talk to someone from Idaho, I might recommend that they not link directly to this immunization schedule. What they chose to do is take the immunization schedule, copy it to their website so that a link goes direct, the URL still shows Idaho, which I understand, except this is the 2010 immunization schedule, and I pulled this screenshot a couple days ago. So that's unfortunate. If they would link directly to CDC schedule, it would pop up in a smaller box, and they could be assured that a visitor is always going to see the most current schedule. It's a great use of content syndication. Jill showed you ways to customize and adapt existing materials for your use. Kathy listed several no-cost web-based tools that you could use or encourage your staff to use. And I hope that I've showed you different applications of the one tool, content syndication, and how it can help improve your health communication on the web. I hope that you know that with a little bit of effort, you can be engaging, like Idaho Department of Public Health was, relevant, like Marion, Ohio was, and user-focused. For reviewing communication basics and specifically addressing optimized web communication, I recommend you visit this government site. The address is howto.gov/webcontent, and they give some great recommendations on how to beef up content. And if you're like me and you need reminders of resources that are available, then I also advise you to sign up for CDC's email alerts specific to content syndication. The email alert you see over in the bottom right is one I got on Saturday night, and it reminded me, in the midst of all of what I was trying to do to prepare for this conference, that there is now content syndication available on radiation and potassium iodide. So yes, it's one more email in your inbox, but I think it's a great way to remind you there is new content out there. You don't have to go looking for it. It can come to you in this way.